Good afternoon. It's a Tuesday, and I'm welcoming you to Bill Allen's Facebook class. We have been reading through the Daily Bible in chronological order this year. That is edited by Eflagard Smith and is the best daily Bible reading tool I believe I have ever found. Enjoy reading through it. Enjoy reading his very appropriate but limited comments to help us along as we get through, setting kind of the context or the timing or a few other comments that he might make, but again, those are very limited so that you can do the lion's share of the reading each day, and that's about three chapters a day or so. And so you can read through the whole Bible in a year, as I tell everyone. If you haven't started yet, or if you're interested in starting, then read today's reading first. Whatever plan you use, when you get behind, or if you're just now starting, read today's reading first. And today's reading involves one of the great Bible characters ever, and it is the great leader and lawgiver Moses. So welcome to my dear sister Tia Clark, nice to see you, and my dear friends, brother and sister in the Lord, Eric and Cindy Mosley. Glad to have y'all, glad to have all of those who join in with us on these studies. I enjoy doing them, and I hope that they're a little bit of a help to you. Over the last few days, we have been looking at the peaceful transfer of power. I hate to use that term in election year, but it seems like it's appropriate because we are going from 40 years of leadership of Moses into the next great leader of God's people, Joshua, who will lead them through across the Jordan River, conquering the land of Canaan, the promised land, and then turning the leadership over to a very volatile timetable of leaders called judges who will be leading the people in the different areas of Israel up until it finally becomes a united nation and a united kingdom under King Saul, David, and Solomon. But before we get there, we're going to say goodbye to this great leader, this great lawgiver, this great man of God, Moses. So welcome to my cousins, Gail and Keith. Nice to see you joining in along, and let's get right to it. The end of Moses' life is quite memorable, and it's found in Deuteronomy 34. But before we get there, I wanted to remind us of some of the great teaching of Moses and some of the wonderful statements in the law that come through him. And first of all, from Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Continuing in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The sacred Shema, as the Jews call it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Moses, the great lawgiver, was very concerned, very devoted to the word of God, and very concerned that the people of Israel would study that word and remember it and obey it and pass it along to their children and their grandchildren and the generations to come. Moses believed in teachable moments long before James Dobson came along. And so he says, whenever you're walking along the path, sitting around at home, before you go to bed, when you get up, talk to your kids and your grandkids about the word of God. And of course, as we see in this passage, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He remembered this passage in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Love God first. It's the first of the Ten Commandments that Moses gave them, that you shall have no other gods before me. Only worship the Lord. Love the Lord your God with everything about you, heart, soul, strength, and mind. And you remember from the time of Christ when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment in the law? That's what he said. But you probably are also thinking, yeah, but Bill, Jesus added one. He also said to love your neighbor as yourself. He came up with that one on his own, didn't he? Actually, he didn't. Both of these commands, to love God and to love your neighbor, come from the law of Moses. That second great command is found in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This past Sunday morning in our Bible class here at West Irwin Church of Christ, we were discussing the call to forgive others as we have been forgiven. And we thought of this passage and the great commandment, the second great commandment that Jesus gave, according to his view of the law, to love your neighbor as yourself, is in the context of forgiveness. Again, reading Leviticus 19, verse 18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. The opposite in context of loving your neighbor as yourself is not forgiving. It's carrying a grudge. Instead, we can turn that over to God. Doesn't mean that they're exonerated. Doesn't mean that God forgives them. Doesn't mean there are no consequences in the relationship. Sometimes there are. Sometimes there aren't. It just means that we've turned it over to God. I think that's what Jesus did on the cross when he prayed that prayer, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's what he did. He said, Father, I'm turning this group over to you. I think we can do the same. The two greatest commandments, according to Jesus, from the law of Moses, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Before his life comes to an end, Moses gives this last reading of the law throughout the book of Deuteronomy. And some of the statements are summary statements, and I'd like to share with you a couple of those. Deuteronomy chapter 10, first of all, verses 12 through 14. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. You see, just like with Paul, just like with Jesus, with Moses, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul does not contradict the call to be obedient. In fact, they go together. They are exactly the same. Jesus would come along and would say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But in this case, Moses says that we are called upon to love the Lord our God, to fear him, to walk in obedience to him, to serve him with all our heart and with all our soul. And you're thinking, wait a minute, Bill, I thought heart stuff was New Testament. I thought that was Jesus and his teachings. I thought in the Old Testament it was all about law. Well, yeah, that's right. But it was also about loving the Lord your God and serving him with all of your heart, with all of your soul. That's what Moses says. Another summary statement is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Again, shortly before his life is ended, Moses says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses says, I'm giving you a choice. I'm giving you a choice. You get to choose. You can choose life or you can choose death. You can choose obedience or you can choose disobedience. You can choose to love and serve and obey the Lord your God as master of your life, or you can put yourself or something else on the throne of your heart. You can't have both. Moses challenges them before his life ends to make that choice and to choose the living God, to choose loving and serving him, to choose life. And so that brings us to Deuteronomy 34, and this is the chapter that speaks of the end of the life of Moses. Interestingly enough, Moses, because of his own sins, does not get to cross over the Jordan into the promised land. Remember, only Joshua and Caleb do, two of those 12 spies that originally were sent out by Moses. And when they came back, the other 10 said, we can't do it, but the two faithful ones, Joshua and Caleb, said, yes, we can with the Lord's help. And they were gone for 40 days, and because the Israelites listened to the ones who were discouraging them and did not trust in the Lord, God said, I'll let you wander in the desert, wander in that wilderness for 1 year for each day that those spies were gone. And so Moses challenges them to remember that story and remember all the other stories. And unfortunately, because of that, it was only Joshua and Caleb that entered the promised land. But what about Moses and Aaron and their sister Miriam, you might ask? Well, none of them got to go into the promised land. Not Aaron, Moses' brother, who was the first high priest, not their sister Miriam, not even Moses. Remember, there were a few times in there where it seems like he acted out of pride and anger against his people. He was the great lawgiver. He was the great mediator. There were several times where he stands between God and the Israelites when God was ready to destroy them because of their sin, and Moses speaks in their behalf. He advocates for them. But unfortunately, there were times where Moses did not act faithfully, and because of that, God said, you won't enter my promised land. And you think, well, that seems unfair, and I think you could make a point there. But what God does give him, even though he doesn't let him enter in with the Israelites, they'll do that under Joshua's leadership, God does take him up to a very high point, and he gives him, I think, a miraculous view of where the Israelites would go, and that's Deuteronomy 34. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jordan, from Jericho. So we're east of the Jordan River before they cross over into the promised land of Palestine. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, the Southland, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. And we get a little bit of a hint of the division of that land according to the tribes, but that's going to come. We'll talk about that on Thursday. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. God buried Moses. He went up that mountain and never came down. And yet the people of Israel were not without a leader. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Can you imagine losing that strong of a leader, and how heartbroken they must have been, and how fearful about life without Moses now? But again, God is there. Verse 9 of Deuteronomy 34. Now Joshua, son of Nun, N-U-N, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. And then this epitaph in the book of Deuteronomy, probably written by Joshua, as is this other part about Moses' death. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials, and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. No leader has ever arisen among God's people like Moses. He was the great lawgiver, the great leader. And yet Moses himself would talk about another leader. And we'll mention that scripture in just a moment. Moses is remembered in the honor roll of faith in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. It says this, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible." What a great statement. How could Moses be so faithful? Because he saw him, God, who is invisible. That doesn't sound right. That's a contradiction. He saw something you can't see, someone you can't see, and you can't except through the eyes of faith. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the application of blood, talking about that Passover original night in Egypt, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And so Moses led the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage through those 40 years in the wilderness wanderings and to the very banks of the Jordan River and the Promised Land. How could he do that? Well, the writer of Hebrews has this commentary about those that he mentions in that great honor roll of faith in chapter 11. It says this, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth." Boy, that could certainly be said of Moses. He didn't get to enter that promised land. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What a great, great tribute to Moses found in the honor roll of faith from the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. What a great leader, what a great lawgiver, what a great man of God he was. And so I'm glad that you've followed along with me today. It's a wonderful time to think about this great leader of God's people, not perfect by any means, still in need of the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, but a man who was obedient himself and stressed obedience and service and worship of the Lord to his people, to love the Lord, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, as we have seen. So thanks, Eric and Cindy and Tia and Gail and Keith and my sister-in-law Janet has helloed in as well. Thank you all and all the others that are viewing this either live or later. And as we close, I want to read this excerpt and a scripture, one final scripture from the Daily Bible. This is the commentary from Eflagard Smith. "So ends the life of the greatest man of God since Abraham. As Abraham had taught a family about faith, Moses had taught a nation about law, and in centuries to come, one greater than them both will teach the whole world about love and grace. And Moses saw the coming of Jesus hundreds and hundreds of years before it took place. And he writes this in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. That great prophet is the Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. I hope and pray that you have a wonderful week, and I will see you on Thursday. God bless.